Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, your gateway to the tropes and trends of the horror genre. My name is Mike Campbell, and I am joined with, by, two,
from
Eric Lee.
Yes. Eric, what are we doing tonight?
Well,
where are we, first off?
Hello, Portland.
Hello, Portland. Yes, there it is.
I've always wanted to do that. We're here live at Wizard World 2019, Portland, Oregon. And tonight we are going to...
Where are we going?
We are going on a trip.
Not just you and me.
No, we're taking
all
our audience on a trip around the world to talk about horror movies.
30 of our best friends.
Yeah, and that's why I...
Pack your bags, people.
I'd agreed to wear this Hawaiian shirt because... Mike had said,
we should wear Hawaiian shirts.
Because
and what did I do?
Travel.
I didn't wear a Hawaiian shirt.
So, you know, speaking of charlatans,
I got duped. Best laid plans.
I think we have found that there is a wealth of really cool horror movies that are sort of tucked away in countries you wouldn't expect. How many of you are familiar with the horror movies from, say, France and Japan?
Okay. Oh, hey, yeah. Guess where we're going tonight?
Yeah.
We're going to France and we're going to Japan.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Ooh la la.
But there's some other places, you know, because we're, you know, I want to go on a vacation, right?
And, I do too.
And I want to take
Portland sucks in the winter.
So, let's see what, you know, I think our first destination is rather warm.
I think it might be. Where are we going, Eric?
Well, I think we are going first. To Mexico.
Yes, our friends to the south of the border.
So there was a movie last year called Tigers Are Not Afraid. It is a, I'd like to call it a Latino dystopian, Dixonian, or Dickensian, sorry.
Yes.
Dickensian.
That's a lot of alliteration you're throwing out there.
Right, blew the podcast right there. But it's a story of a bunch of ragamuffins in the barrios of Mexico City who run afoul of some drug lords, and by fate there's a young woman who gets her mother gets killed by the drug lords, but she comes into possession of one of their cell phones, which they were going to try and go to the police or get a reward, and then so they're getting hunted. But then the drug lords find that they are being hunted by her mother's ghost, and so it's this kind of this circular chase of these kids trying to make their way through. Really, you know, they're a bunch of homeless little boys, and you know, and led by like a 13-year-old girl going through the barrio, and it's beautifully done. Paola Laura and Juan Ramon Lopez are, if they get an opportunity to grow up in the film industry, look like they're going to be stars.
So what's the scariest part? Is it the drug lords? Is it the ghosts? Or is it the homeless little kids? What is the scariest part of the film?
The scariest part is...
Where does
is
the scare
that,
come from?
Well, there, it all comes to a culmination, right? There's a collision towards the end of the third act. Sad to say, not all the little kids make it. Those drug lords, you know, they mean business. So
El Chapo's in prison now.
Yeah,
everything's fine.
They dispatched a couple of the kids, and so there's a lot of a press your luck kind of an element to the end of this thing.
All right.
They also have this fascination with there's a little animated stuffed tiger, and then it magically there's a bunch of sort of a supernatural kind of an element to this.
Mexican mysticism.
Yeah, Mexican mysticism. And if I'm...
Who out there has seen Tigers Are Not Afraid? Anyone?
Has anybody heard of Tigers Are Not Afraid?
Wow! So all right. This is good. Everyone's learning together. We're all on this journey together.
It was on the film festival circuit last year.
Yep.
I think it's limited. It's available in limited release on some streaming platform. So it's not completely surprising that you guys haven't seen it. But keep an eye out for it when it hits Shudder or Amazon.
All right.
So some other ones, if we're taking a look at some of these other great things from Mexico, Santa Sangre. How many of you guys know about Santa Sangre? Anybody?
Wow, this is good.
Or Alejandro Jodorowsky. Okay, this is weirdo stuff.
Yes.
All right.
This we call horror adjacent.
Right.
not necessarily horror. This is not Freddy and Jason and Michael and Chucky. This is some far out stuff.
Art house, trippy, circus meets the cult in Mexico.
But hyper disturbing.
And Jodorowsky is an artist of the first order.
Yep.
It's not an easy watch because it's kind of confusing. It also is a...
Purposefully.
Yeah, and it's not straight up horrifying, but there's some really disturbing elements to it. So that's Santa Sangre. Also, okay, now... Pan's Labyrinth. Folks.
There's one, there's two, there's three, four. There's my God, the whole audience. Okay, so there we are.
Guillermo del Toro is Mexico's gift to the genre. Now, granted, Pan's Labyrinth was filmed in Spain, but it is del Toro is Mexican.
Right.
And it is, you know, this dude, that guy.
Yes.
Totally freaky. And it's beautifully told. And he did Kronos, and of course he did Shape of Water.
Yep.
Last year's Best Picture winner. And
AKA The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Hellboy,
yeah. So that's right.
He is, you know, the king of Mexican horror cinema. But this was sort of built on the backbone of luchador horror, pure silliness. Have any of you heard of Santo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Santo and the Blue Demon versus the monsters, right? So this is, they're taking your universal horror monsters, like you can see there's Frankenstein, there's El Vampiro, and
don't they face off with the mummy, too?
El Ciclope, I guess.
El Ciclope?
Cyclops, yes. The mummy, they're all there. And it's sort of tag team, right?
It's 1960.
This is 1966, 67, 68. Yeah. They did a bunch of Santo movies.
Right.
Right. And this is, that is purely a Mexican tradition. And so you're not going to find any other horror movies like Santo. You know, it's like, believe it or not, I don't know. Can anybody name an American wrestling horror movie?
Ooh.
See,
that's a challenge.
So this is,
that's a challenge. There is none.
You got to go.
Yes. Oh, you got, what is it?
See No Evil.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There you go.
Okay, well.
See No Evil. We've been stumped.
We'll call
Stop by the booth and we're getting you a prize.
Call
in the southwest corner.
It's like we had a discussion with a number of folks today about how American movies are aping Japanese movies,
which we'll get to.
So this one, someone is copying.
Yes,
Santo.
I think so.
All right.
Where are we going next?
All right. Well, we're going to continue south.
South. Yes. So, further
you're
south.
You're going to need a jacket because this is quite a way south,
and it's a little colder. We're going to Argentina. Eric, did you know that there are 43 million people in Argentina?
Wow.
It has been around since the 1500s. Does anyone know what its largest export is? Anyone?
Beef?
No, but close. It's wheat. They're the fifth largest wheat exporter in the world, which is about as unfrightening as it gets. You know, the interesting thing about, I think, Argentina is that if you look at the history of Argentine horror films, there ain't a lot. I could only find 14 in the history of film that have been done in Argentina.
And them's not good.
No, they're not. They're not. Probably the best, if anyone has seen this film came out, I think it was originally released in 2017, but then got the formal release in 2018. This is a film called Terrified or Aterrados. This film is... Man, this is crazy scary. I watched it. Eric had been bugging me to watch it for months and months, and I finally watched it this week. It is a terrifying, terrifying film. It's a sort of an anthology almost. They follow three different people or three different groups of people in Buenos Aires, and they are haunted by these sort of paranormal specters, which doesn't sound scary in and of itself, but the way it unfolds and some of the horror and some of the body horror, I've honestly never seen replicated in a horror film before.
And the thing I liked about Terrified was it's kind of like an anthology film that they stitched together with, you don't realize it while you're in it, but there are four stories are seamlessly strewn together.
Four stories, yes, yeah.
I said three. Yeah,
it's,
I think
that's close.
But you know, the paranormal investigators.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they are.
Trust me, it doesn't feel like it's been chopped up into segments, but it's a natural flow of stuff.
Yeah, it's a great film. Great film. And it's streaming right now on Amazon Prime. If anyone has a Shudder account, Shudder, of course, is the sort of subset of Amazon that focuses entirely on horror. And yeah, it is a great, great film.
Yeah, if you're into horror, Shudder is a great buy.
Yeah. $5 a month.
So yeah, and
we're not sponsored by Shudder, by the way.
No,
or Amazon Prime. Although Jeff Bezos, if you want to come on the podcast, we would love to have you on.
So some of the we talked a little bit about some of the not so great
Cold Sweat 2012,
but this one is kind of you have to admit they're not all American horror movies are right. Super great, but there's some of them that are. Like, say, Texas Chainsaw, which are sleazy and wonderful at the same time.
Yes.
So we give you Cold Sweat, and I think nitroglycerin here is the weapon of choice.
Right. What else do we got in Argentina? Here comes the devil.
Now, this one's worth seeing. It's like a family goes on vacation. We lost the kids. They went into a tunnel. Oh, I found the kids. Now there's something not right with the kids. This one, if you pair this one up with Terrified, you have the beginnings of an emerging horror market. And I think now with the way that movie festivals go, we're hoping to see more Argentine horror.
Yep, absolutely.
On the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, yes, my favorite. From 1969, The Curious Case. No, just The Curious. Dr. Hump.
Two-piece.
Who in the hell knows what this film is about? All we know is that it is an Argentine horror film from 1969. So if you want to take the deep dive, if you want to truck on over to Movie Madness, I have a feeling there is probably a copy of The Curious Dr. Hump.
I think that there is something where like extraction of sexual body fluids is involved, which is really a horrifying idea, especially for 1969.
But it is characterized as a sex horror comedy, and of course, Dr. Hump gives the name away. All right, where are we going next, Eric?
Okay, well we're done with Latin America for now, and we're flying across the pond.
Although, has anybody seen the case of The Curious Dr. Hump? Okay.
I wouldn't expect. Neither of us have seen it either, so we're in the same boat.
But we're all in this together.
We stumbled across it.
It was a team effort. All right, where are we going now?
Now here's a movie that I'm going to guess some of you have seen.
There you go.
All right, so this is.
I'm going to say half, 50% of the audience has seen Wreck.
And I know our scariest Amy is a big fan of the shaky cam. This is one of the best shaky cam movies ever made, and I think that they gave there's great reason for it to be shaky.
Now, Amy, do you prefer the U.S. version or the Spanish version?
I prefer the Spanish version because it has a more metaphysical
reason. Agreed.
Yeah, it's demons and not disease.
Yes.
And, you know, this is a... For those of you who haven't seen it, it's a story where a journalist goes on a ride along with a fire department crew in Barcelona, and they go to an apartment building where someone is sick and won't come out, and then they find out that there's something seriously, seriously wrong with the people.
And they think it's rabies.
Yeah.
But it is a pandemic outbreak.
Because of the church.
Yes.
And because that there is a demon amongst them, and it is, and you can sort of see. And if I couldn't figure out how to put a GIF into this thing, but there is one of the all-time great horror movie GIFs. Is our lead protagonist here gets dragged away into the dark with a night camera. It is one of the freakiest shots put to film, and you know I think this is, I think sort of the Spanish.
But you got to make it all the way through the film to get to that point.
Yeah, right.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. You got to make it all the way through.
And so it is a really well crafted film. I think that my issue with shaky cam is it's like don't do it because that's the only thing that you can do for your budget, right? This is that this was from the point of view from a television crew and it made sense and. The fact that this thing goes into quarantine, there's a lot of the notion of societal collapse with between the quarantine and the outbreak and how it gets handled and the paranoia, sort of this apocalyptic sense. Fantastic movie.
What else is Spain famous for?
This is Framed, which came out last year. They are currently working on getting a distribution release. A friend of the podcast, Mark Martinez Jordan.
Spanish director,
young kid. He's like 32.
Yeah.
Like, Mike and I can call him a kid because we're old dogs now. but he's just getting his feet wet in the industry. This is bloody, bloody fun. It's.
Has anyone seen Framed?
Does anybody go to horror film festivals?
No. Okay. A couple. Here we go. Yeah.
So here's the thing. So a lot of the movies that we're going to talk about, actually, you will catch early screenings for, and you will beat everybody to the punch by going to the film festivals. This one showed at the Portland Horror Film Festival, who they're the booth next to ours. The director, after we reviewed it, he came to us and goes, "I'd love that. Want to do an interview?" He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But more than that, what he has, he's got a super bright future in the industry. It's a take on how far will you go, how to get a YouTube moment, and so this one guy goes over the top and starts doing a home invasion massacre, and this thing is not for the timid, but it'll cut them up. Great movie. Dagon. Any of you seen Dagon? All right.
Yes.
Lovecraft fans. So this is based on the H.P. Lovecraft story, The Shadow Over Innsmouth. It's tentacular, nasty fish people who are the two people get stranded on holiday in Andalusia and find out that everybody in the town are slowly devolving into fish people. And that they are capturing real humans and sacrificing them to their god, who is a gigantic, fishy, squiddy creature. It's a lot of fun. It's low budget. It's by Stuart Gordon, who also did Reanimator, From Beyond, Castle Freak, some of those old video nasties from the 1980s. Still going at it in the 2000s.
And Castle Freak is getting remade.
Yeah,
under the Fangoria imprint.
Yeah, Castle Freak. That's a next level kind of a horror film.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're well adjusted to horror films before going to Castle Freak.
Yes.
And then one movie that I didn't realize was actually Spanish made, but it's The Others.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and Nicole Kidman is in that, and it's a ghost story. It's a beautiful ghost story. It's not particularly scary, but it's got some. It has like a huge aha moment. How many of you have seen The Others? Yeah. So you know that's it's sort of a quiet ghost story, beautifully rendered, and you know I think that's. It stylistically, there's something I can't put my finger exactly on it, but it reads in hindsight, the lighting and the way the artistry that you can see a lot of that with Spanish films. I think there's a lot of painterly aspects about Spanish films.
Yes, it's got a very soft glow to it.
All right, so we're heading out to the neighbor. So the
close
neighbor here, and this is a horror powerhouse.
Oh, one of the biggest horror powerhouses. Who has been to the country of Italy? Who out there? One person? Only one person? Have you been to Italy?
I have not.
It was only one person. All right. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Italy. There's 60 million people that live in Italy. It was formally unified in 1861.
History lessons.
And did you know what its number one export is?
You.
No. Computers. Have you ever seen an Italian computer?
Nor have I.
The thing that's cool about Italy is you probably all know as horror fans, it's got an incredibly, incredibly rich history going back way, way back. Obviously, the number one, one of the biggest and brightest and boldest, both literally and figuratively, is Dario Argento's 1977 classic Suspiria. Who's seen the remake of Suspiria? Oh, who's seen Suspiria?
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. Folks, this is where you start. This is where horror films start and end, is with Suspiria. An amazing, amazing film that is so visually compelling. It is full of bright lights and a grinding rock soundtrack brought to you by
Goblin,
which was Dario Argento, the director, the Italian director, he oftentimes paired up with for his film soundtracks. Just an amazing, amazing film. But most importantly, what Dario Argento brings to the table is two things. One is lots and lots of saturation and lots of color. And the other thing he brings to the table is giallo, which is very much an Italian thing. Giallo kind of goes back, I mean, that's really their shtick. If you don't like to see people's eyeballs poked at or sliced at, or you don't like to see organs being torn out of people's bodies, stay away from Italian films. But if that's your bag, there's some really great stuff. Most importantly, giallo is kind of this, like, it's interesting because it's really more sort of like thriller horror, as opposed to horror thriller. It really oftentimes focuses on a single sort of murderous person who is very mysterious in nature. It's kind of like, I don't know, I guess it'd be like it'd be like film noir, if there was gore in film noir, mm-hmm. that would be giallo. That's like that's the transition. There's been a lot of amazing, amazing actors. There's Joe D'Amato, there's Lucio Fulci, there's Umberto Lenzi, and of course there's Dario Argento.
Mario Bava, you forgot Mario Bava.
Mario Bava, yeah. And you know, the list of films goes on and on and on. Well, we're going to cover some of those
films?
Yeah. Let's see what we got.
Let's take a peek here.
What do we got?
This is my favorite.
Black Sunday. Has anyone seen Black Sunday? Oh, my God. This one will knock your socks off. We covered this in the top 100. Yeah. Films of all time. The reason that woman has like pockmarks on her face is because she's a witch and they throw her into the Iron Maiden, and then of course she comes back from life, or comes, yes.
Actually, they put this huge mask with spikes in it.
And they nail it to her face.
Yes.
Yes. A Harley Quinn size hammer.
Yes, all yes, yes, yes.
And this is in 1960.
The poor man's Iron Maiden.
Yes. Yes. And it was... This movie, well, there were the big movies from this year, Psycho, Black Sunday, Eyes Without a Face,
Peeping Tom,
changed the game completely. All of a sudden, it says the rules are different. There are a lot of these movies got banned or they scared a lot of people.
Although this was not a giallo film.
Yeah,
this was somewhat separate and independent.
But this is Mario Bava, and that's the lovely Barbara Steele, who was willing to subject herself to those things.
Yes. What else we got in Italy?
Okay.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Okay.
Oh my God.
This is the top.
Hard ones to get through.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the movie that started the Steadicam. It's all shown through a cameraman's point of view.
That is true.
No, that is true.
Very true.
And okay, so raise your hand if you've actually been foolish enough to watch Cannibal Holocaust. All right.
That man has.
It wasn't done by Umberto Lenzi.
Do we have to say? No.
No, we were just mentioning Umberto Lenzi as just in general in the overall pastiche of Italian horror.
Yeah. No. Yes. This is and so, but Cannibal Holocaust is the top of the I can't handle it food chain, a bridge too far. I got tricked by this man into seeing its twin movie, Cannibal Ferox.
It's gross out horror. If that's not your thing, stay away from Cannibal Holocaust. But you could also try, speaking of gross out horror, the 1979, somewhat tied to the Dawn of the Dead, the George Romero film, Zombie. Zombie is spelled with an I. Sometimes spelled with an I-E.
Yeah, they do both.
The thing that's incredibly remarkable about this, if you haven't heard about this, one of the zombies, who kind of looks like Frankenstein, ends up in an underwater fight with an actual shark in the film. That in and of itself is something to be seen.
I think it was a tiger shark. That was a no-joke shark. Punching a tiger shark, that thing, if it actually got a hold of the actor, would have torn him up.
Yes. All right.
So now...
Where are we going now? What country are we going to?
How you like your pastries?
I love pastries.
How do you
like... That's my Achilles heel.
How about a human meat pastry?
Not so much.
Okay.
Not so much. So where are we going? What country are we going
France.
To?
France.
Who's been to France? That's a lot. One Italy, half the audience France. Very nice. Okay.
Skip down on that.
Yeah.
This is raw. Anybody who out here seen Raw? Okay, so Raw is a
meat pastries.
Came out 2017. It's a young woman who's going off to vet school, and she's a vegan, and she gets tricked into, or rather, bullied into a hazing ritual from her veterinary school, where she has to eat a rabbit's heart, which was a foolish thing to do, because now all of a sudden she has not just a taste for flesh, but human flesh. Okay. Now the trick with this kind of, now most cannibal movies are, you know, let's go tie someone to a stake and tear them apart.
You just said you didn't like cannibal movies. Now you like cannibal movies?
This is my exception.
What just happened? Something just happened.
This is, well, because it's the way it gets handled.
Okay.
This young woman, she comes into possession in a most horrible way of a finger. And you can sort of see in the picture here, she is debating whether to eat the finger, right? And that move, that scene takes about 5 minutes, and it is so agonizing to watch, because you go, don't do it. Don't eat the finger. Come on, don't eat the finger.
Not finger licking good.
No, and she, but she
finger eating good.
Finger gnawing good.
Finger gnawing good.
And she couldn't resist.
Yep. All right. What else is France known for?
Eyes Without a Face. Anybody seen Eyes Without a Face?
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful film.
Beautiful movie. At the time, we mentioned it, super controversial, because there's a surgery scene in there, because there's a mad scientist whose daughter went through a car crash, and he's trying to give her...
The right face.
The right face. So he's kidnapping young women, cutting their faces off, so he can put their face on his daughter. Right. This is 1960, and they show the surgery, and it's like, now it's kind of, it's like,
and he's also experimenting with dogs.
Yeah, and so it's,
which is, yeah,
yeah. So at the time, banned in Britain.
Wasn't I know.
It?
Yeah, it was.
But now it's tame, fairly tame, but beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving through. We're gonna try and move quicker here. High Tension. Any High Tension fans?
Yes.
All right.
This is a near perfect slasher movie. For about half a movie, and then it kind of forgets about what it
80%,
is.
80%, come
yeah,
on.
80%,
80%.
Yeah, 80%. Two-thirds through, smart protagonist, smart antagonist. Super bloody, but the actions and the reactions all make real sense.
And this movie moves fast. Right. It is a fast-moving movie.
This is the opposite of the slow burn. This one hits you with a mallet in about the first 5 minutes of the film, and then it
never lets up.
Right,
the whole film.
I think it would have been wise to stop it two-thirds of the way through and say done.
Yeah,
and then we would have had the perfect slasher movie, but they continued on a little too long.
Yeah,
check that one out. Okay, I'm a Martyrs fan. French extremism is the thing. It's like, this is, if you're looking for, we just talked about Giallo with Eyes. Something about the French likes flaying. And I don't know what it is, but this is, it's
Did
a...
Did you say filleting?
Filleting and flaying.
Oh, okay.
It probably both, but in this case, that there is something, that there are some, there's a cult of people trying to find a martyr. Now, Mike and I are too squeamish for this movie.
Still too squeamish.
We're not going to go there. That's a bridge too far. So our friend in the front row here, you got more guts than we do.
Yes.
So how did you experience that?
To be honest, I saw it when I was 18 years old, and my friend was like, "I got this movie from the video store." And
ooh, sucker!
She suckered me into it. We watched it all, but at the end of it, it definitely is not like when you're like, you're kind of going like this the whole time. You're like, is that really what's happening? Because it kind of, I feel like this one starts with a big bang. It doesn't take long for it to get going.
Yeah. Yep. The French don't dawdle.
No.
Okay, next stop.
Where are we going?
Get a jacket.
Get a jacket. It is getting cold, people. Very cold. We are going to Scandinavia. Who's been to Scandinavia? Norway, Sweden, Finland. One, two, three. Three people. Not
four people.
Four people. Where was the fourth?
Two here. And here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You were so fast. Yes. I recently went to Norway and Sweden and Denmark, and it is cold. I stupidly went in the winter. Not a smart move. There are 10 million people that live in Sweden. It was formed in the 12th century. What is its major export?
IKEA.
The non
automobiles.
The non-threatening, non-scary Volvo.
Yeah. Hey, called shot.
Yes. Right. Very nice. All right. So the thing that's cool, I think, about films from Scandinavia, in particular Sweden, is that, you know, they don't skimp on imagination or creativity. Many of these films are very broad. They're very austere. There's a sort of a quiet tone to them. Mm-hmm. I think is a common refrain. The other thing that's cool about films from the Scandinavia is they don't repeat, right? So you don't have, you know, Friday the 13th Part 6. You don't have these like franchises.
One and done.
They really are kind of one and done films. And obviously, you know, in the U.S., we ape many of these films. Yeah. Because they are so great. One of I think probably the more stellar ones is the 2016 film Let the Right One In.
All right, folks, there you go.
Yes, good film. Good film.
It's kind of a My Bodyguard with a vampire, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I love the little girl's Renfield, who had the bag man, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost kind of a romantic film.
It is.
I mean, really, when you get down to it, it's sort of a romantic horror.
You root for the little girl vampire.
I can't think of another romantic horror film. We'll get back on that one.
Okay.
All right.
Also,
what else we got?
Yeah, Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, there you go. Yes. I think this young lady in the front got this. You might have got this trivia question correct, didn't you? No, or was somebody else? Okay.
Did anybody in this room get the Hour of the Wolf question?
Oh, this of course is. Has anyone seen Hour of the Wolf? No one. All right, we're back at it. So this is Hour of the Wolf is an Ingmar Bergman film with Max von Sydow and Liv Ullmann. This is a 1968 film, and it's incredible because, you know, Ingmar Bergman, an amazing director. The thing that's really amazing about this is that you don't know at the end of the day if Max von Sydow is crazy. You don't know if he is a vampire. You don't know if he is a werewolf, potentially. And he is living on the island with Liv Ullmann, his wife. And there happens to also be a cult on the island. It's an amazing film, and it's a very scary film.
We're gonna have to motor.
Yes,
here we go.
Motor. Go.
Going through.
Troll Hunter. Great film. Super fun film.
Super fun. Super duper fun film. This one is
found footage mockumentary.
Yes.
Yes.
Super fun. And actually surprisingly wonderful special effects.
Yes. Where are we going next?
Okay. Did we skip over one?
No.
Okay.
That's where we're going.
Okay, we're going to the Middle East. Probably the hardest place to try and get a horror film done.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. For a variety.
The amount of censorship that happens out there. So this is Under the Shadow. Has anybody seen Under the Shadow? Baba Kanvari came out with this film. It's actually a parable about this young woman who's in a family where she has a medical degree and she had been a doctor and she can no longer get a job because of the Iranian Revolution. So the government isn't allowing women to work. And so she's at home and she feels suffocated by her inability to work. Plus, this is in 1982, Iran. They're getting shelled by Baghdad. That Iraq and Iran have been in this long war, right? And so there's a metaphor for being trapped. There is also an evil jinn in this house that they're at. And it starts out innocuously where her daughter's toys go missing. It's like, Mommy, where's my toys? I don't know where your toys are. It's like, Mommy, where's my blanket? You put your blanket somewhere. And then the jinn's just been stockpiling the stuff. And then it starts doing other things like collecting the neighbors. And then the house gets hit with an Iraqi missile. And then there's like, so it gets, it's actually, there's a lot of tension built up in it. It's not a really gory movie, but it's an expertly told movie. Narges Rashidi is gorgeous, and she is a stellar actress. I hope she gets a break in the West. She deserves it. I don't know how much, because this one's actually filmed in Jordan by an Iranian director with an Iranian cast. I don't know if they would ever show it in Iran.
Firmly parked in the Middle East.
But
what other films?
So also, Housewife. movie that I saw last year at Portland Horror Film Festival. Actually, this was at the Lovecraft Film Festival. Cosmic horror mixes with Amway.
And what country is this?
This is from Turkey.
Turkey, yes.
And this is part of the new Giallo breed of directors who are picking up that cyan, magenta,
Turkish
super
Turkish
colorful.
Giallo.
Like fairy tales and corporate business cult. Weird, kind of confusing movie, but interesting. A girl walks home alone at night. Any of you seen this one?
Great movie poster. Yeah. Check out the movie. Just if you just Google the movie poster, that's all you need to see. It's a brilliant piece of graphic design.
There's a young Iranian woman who is a vampire, and she walks around in her hijab but she walks the streets alone and finds victims and
yes.
And it's but she you know told nobody suspects her.
Iranian vampires.
There is a movie called Candisha out of Morocco, which is a this lauded movie has gotten it's a grieving mother who's an attorney who goes after a 14th century spirit of revenge. These are not easy countries to get horror movies out of, and these are all beautifully they're high art ones. I don't think that they would ever do schlock because I don't think anybody would show. I mean, although there was, I think, a Turkish Star Wars, which apparently was a total disaster. But this, you know, I think I'm hoping that there will be a film revolution coming out of the Middle East because these some stories of cultures and how they interpret their ghosts and their vampires is different than the way that we see it. And these are some stellar movies to find out about that. Okay, moving further.
Yes.
Into.
We're going.
Going to India. Now,
yes.
Okay, so folks, Bollywood is the second biggest generator of films. And they do not know how to do horror movies. They do hundreds.
They're figuring it out.
They tend to like erotic horror kind of thrillers. They often do things that are derivative.
A lot of dancing.
Dancing and, you know, they borrow American or Korean plots. They don't take their own. This movie, Tumbad, though, is now streaming on Amazon and I think maybe Shudder. It's fantastic. For all the hidden movies out there.
Is this in Hindi or is this in English?
It's in Hindi.
Okay.
But with subtitles. Because one of the weird things about our website is we have our second biggest viewing audience outside of Portland is Ladakh, India. For whatever reason. Well, actually,
we're huge in India.
We have as many fans in India as we do in the United States. So you know, could it
be the fact that there's a billion people in India?
That's actually the fact of the matter is they have that many people who really love horror movies and they're not being served, which is yes. really too bad.
All
this
right.
movie is Indian centric. It's about Indian themes. It's really scary and it's beautiful.
Tumbad.
Another one that's come out fairly recently is on Netflix now. It's called Ghoul. It's a cop drama. So they're getting into it. They're figuring it out. My hope is that they're going to get their act together. And I mean, because this is one of the other movies that they've done, Boot, which is Ghost in Hindi, was a very successful movie. But they've done it. They've repeated it to death, and it has kind of lost some of its edge. But this one is. It's decent. It's not great. And Maya is another one that might be sort of on the leading edge. So this is sort of Hindi demons in an asylum. It's been favorably compared to The Conjuring. But again, it's a movie that probably holds a little bit too close to American tropes. And I'd like to see more Indian-centric tropes out of their stuff. Even with dancing. I'd love more. You know, it's like some comedy song and dance numbers, but with a good Indian production.
Comedy, horror, dancing, song.
Okay.
Yes.
So now
all right.
We're going to next up is an emerging powerhouse for horror films.
We are in Indonesia. Indonesia, of course, has, as we all know, Indonesia has 261 million people. Not quite as big as India. It's been around since the second century, and its main export is crude oil and natural gas. I think they might have covered that in the 1976 Dino De Laurentiis great King Kong. which I think was, yeah. I think that was Indonesia.
It's not a great movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Anyway, there are surprisingly an amazing, amazing number of Indonesian films. And as Eric mentioned, sort of the thing that's interesting about Indonesia, much like India, is like this is the part of the world that nobody in the horror community talks about. Nobody in the film community talks
about,
frankly.
Unlike India, these guys know how to do horror movies.
Oh my God, do they ever. Satan Slaves is a 2017 film. You can read a review of it on our podcast, scariestthings.com. Our website, rather, an amazing, amazing sort of ghost zombie tale that is, there are some chills in this film that are...
Top flight.
And it is streaming currently, I think, on...
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, I think you can get it on Amazon. Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing
film. Family drama first, too. For those of you who kind of like, you know, a solid foundation, this is Poltergeist... with an Indonesian flavor, but it's not a ripoff of Poltergeist in any way, but it has that kind of a sense about it. So
the thing that's great about Indonesian horror is that it definitely draws on the grotesque. That's its whole shtick. And it's not just the grotesque for grotesque's sake. It shows you why the monster becomes the monster.
Yep.
So what else you got?
So this is Bloodbath and Mayhem with Rooma Dara. So this is one of the messier Indonesian horror films, action packed, if you so desire. Furries, kinda. Surreal juxtaposition of furries and murder. So you know, it's kind of Donnie Darko meets
Texas Chainsaw. So,
yeah, there's like. Murdering mayhem and people in giant bunny outfits. May the Devil Take You came out last year, one of the best thought of horror movies coming out of Asia. This is kind of an Evil Dead possession movie. This is intense. Has anybody seen any of the Indonesian horror movies here?
Yeah. Start with Satan's Slaves. It is good.
Also, May the Devil Take You will go towards some of the Western sensibilities of horror.
Right. Okay. All right, where are we going next?
Now we're hitting some powerhouse ones. We're
wrapping up with the best of the best.
You know this one?
What country are we in?
Korea.
All right, you got it.
Train to Busan.
Yes.
Probably biggest exports right here.
Yes, Kim Jong-un is not like big on horror. He might be big on horror, I don't know.
No, is that the right?
Well, North Korea, yeah. Well, Korea.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, there's two. Yes. There's... So how many of you have seen Train to Busan? Yeah. So this is, unfortunately, they're going to try and remake an American version of this thing, and they just made this like 3 years ago.
Not necessary.
So it's going to be what, Train to Boston? Is that what it's going to be? It's like going to the Fenway and picking up some Sox fans. I don't know.
But there is a baseball team in Train to Busan.
Yes, there is.
So that makes perfect sense. Train to Boston. Done.
So, you know.
Copyrighted.
Now, I think my biggest takeaway from Korean films is their technical aptitude. That these are higher budget, really well edited. Really, the effects are great. The pacing great. The acting. This is like they put as much effort in their horror movies as we put into our superhero movies, right? Tale of Two Sisters. Any of you seen this? Yeah, it's a. Sort of a somber ghost story, evil stepmother kind of a thing. And it takes a while to figure out what's going on. Would you agree that it's a little bit, it takes a while to figure out what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a gorgeous movie. This one landed in our top 100 also. How many of you have seen this one? Fun, right? This is the thing about the host.
Well, this is monster movie done right.
Yeah.
This is like they show the monster, you understand the monster, you can see the monster, you can track the monster. This is a monster done right with this wonderful familial underpinning.
Right. And at the same time, you can't always get a full understanding of the creature because it's got like hands within hands.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but they'll show it a lot. And it's like not afraid in full sunlight. It's fantastic. And it's got a great family sub-story, too. I Saw the Devil. All right. Mike, have you seen I Saw the Devil?
I have not seen I Saw the Devil.
Cop goes after a serial killer and is just as bad as a serial killer.
This is a revenge movie. It's a thriller horror. It's 2010. So yeah, it is available streaming. It's intense.
Is it revenge?
It is. I think. I don't know, Jim. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's a long movie, and it takes a while to get to where it's going, but
okay.
It's worth the investment.
Yeah.
I spit on your kimchi.
All right. So, last stop, the biggie.
The biggest of the big. Who has been to Japan? All right. Do you find Japan scary?
No.
Okay.
probably the safest country in the world.
Potentially honest. The safest, yes. Of course, we have 126 million people that live in Japan. It was founded in 660 BC. Its main export is... The vehicle.
Okay.
Yes. But yeah, much like Sweden. It's but I looked because I thought, okay, well, we're talking about horror, we're talking about vehicles. Has there ever been a Japanese horror movie about cars?
Japanese horror movie.
I could not find one.
That's a Plymouth.
Yes. Yeah. A Japanese horror movie about cars. Yeah, as you all know, probably having somewhat of an interest, even passing in the horror genre, Japan is, I would argue outside of the UK and the US, easily the biggest exporter of horror films and super duper quality horror films.
Influential. Huge
influential.
How many of you guys have gutted through Audition? Okay.
That's a good yes. And you all know how terrifying it is and how long that lasts with you. I've never gone back for a second viewing of Audition because you don't need to.
Yeah, Mike and I saw this
together. You don't need to go to the Holocaust Museum twice, much like you don't need to go see Audition twice. Yeah. It's a dark film.
I was covering my face. I was like, Mike, what's happening? And Mike was going, I don't know, I'm not watching. And you hear in the background, kitty, 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 kitty. And you go, ah! And there's a piano wire, and there's long needles.
There's needles and eyeballs.
And it just doesn't
piano
stop.
Wires.
And at the same time, but this one was one where it's like for the first half of the movie, it's like, Mike, come on, I thought we got a scary movie here. What's going on?
Yes, yeah. So yeah, this is a film. If you haven't seen it, you got to stick with it to get to the punch and the punchline.
And you may revere it and you may regret it.
Yes.
Okay. So this is we're Qui-Don. Who's seen Qui-Don?
1965 classic.
Go
yes.
see Qui-Don.
Would you say go see Qui-Don?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
There
well,
you go.
But for those of you not in the know, this is it's kind of now. I'll say go see Qui-Don, kind of like I'll go see Hamlet, right? This is.
It's ghost Shakespeare.
It is. The stories are impeccable, and the art direction is it's like a stage play on the most grand way to do a stage play.
Yep.
It's not really scary, so I think Elizabeth, this one you might be able to do this one. It is, but they're ghost stories, and they're beautiful stories. But like Shakespeare, you're watching some ye old Japanese samurai era stuff. You gotta be ready for it. It's literate and it's heady and it's beautiful.
Another great one of the era is a black and white film. It's a Criterion Collection film called Onibaba. You've also seen Onibaba. Onibaba is just one of the most beautiful films I think I've ever seen, and it's a horror film. It's very chilling, very very chilling film that basically takes place in sort of post-colonial Japan. It's these two women caught between sort of warring tribal groups,
and they capture and kill samurai.
It's sort of like and they sell their armor, right? Exactly. It's sort of like a kind of predates Texas Chainsaw Massacre a bit, but it's a lot of the same. A lot of the same tropes as you get out of Texas Chainsaw. And I don't know if Toby Hooper was specifically influenced by Onibaba, but you never know.
Yeah, the Japanese horror movies that they were awesome in the '60s. They kind of sucked in the '70s and '80s, and they came back in full force in the late '90s
with
The Grudge.
Who has, seen The Grudge?
All right, the entire audience. So yeah,
yes, I was pulling when we did Mount Horrormore last night. I was pulling for Kayako to show up, and didn't happen.
No, yeah,
did not happen.
But she is as scary as it gets, right? Yeah. So this is, you know, there is. If not for Ju-on and Ringu and movies like that that came out in the late 90s, early aughts, we might still be stuck with bad franchise horror from Hollywood. I think this movie gave Hollywood a kick in the ass.
Scream 12.
Yeah, and I think this if these movies didn't come along, our current golden age wouldn't be here. So that is our trip around the world.